EMS on the Mountain is an entertainment, educational, and commentary product recorded by Sean and Mike and produced by them. Nothing recorded by Sean, Mike, or any of the guests of the show is endorsed nor authorized by their respective employers or agencies unless explicitly outlined. All commentary and statements made are their own. Always follow your respective medical protocols. Nothing said on this platform should be considered medical direction. Now, on with the show.
Welcome to the EMS on the Mountain podcast, a show for those interested in austere and wilderness medicine. This podcast provides insight into the unique aspects and challenges of bringing modern EMS into wilderness and austere environments.
Rolling, rolling.
I'm recording.
Keep them doggies rolling.
3, 2, 1, say some words.
Right. Wind and weather. We got both kinds, country and western.
We're together right now, which is part of the reason this is so wonky and we're not talking to each other over the interwebs.
No. Welcome back to another episode of EMS on the Mountain. And this one is from the mountain.
Yeah, it is.
We are in the lovely
mountains,
ambulance bay. And Mike has toys to play with. God help us all.
Just that one time.
Yeah, we'll see. Jesus Christ. You guys missed probably 40 minutes of... If we'd recorded it and put it out as a bloopers reel, it would have been pretty funny.
It's been 34 minutes.
Okay, 34 minutes.
Gosh.
I don't have my paramedic watch on. Today, we're going to do a case review of a pretty interesting call we had. I don't know how long ago this was now, but the bottom line is you can hear Mike typing on his keyboard. That's how good the microphones are.
Oh,
now.
That's not the best.
So this call went out on Friday late afternoon, early evening. I don't even think we'd had food at the point yet. And this is very early season. There were hardly any other people on duty. We were the only two. Actually, there's a third EMS provider, an EMT. And...
That's right. I forgot about
she
that
tossed us under the bus with this call because the call went out initially for a visitor assist, and she got on the scene first and started talking to these guys and decided that I think this needs adult supervision and called for us. And so we got on scene, and as we're pulling up, actually the only thing we got going in with some dispatch information was some visitors in the area who were sick. One person for sure, some nausea, some severe vomiting, and just generally not feeling well. Not a lot of good dispatch info on this one. So we were rolling in a bit blind, other than, okay, we got a group of people and at least one of them is puking. Like, okie dokie.
Yeah, it was like a general sick person. Call,
yeah, so it was.
Oh, there's sick people.
Yeah.
They're sick.
Very generic.
Yeah.
And so as we're rolling up, there's a guy over there in the grass on all fours, actively retching. This must be our guy. So we're in the little ambulance. We pull up, jump out.
Beep boo, beep boo.
It actually makes that noise.
I come with sound effects.
Yes, he does. And get out. So we start talking to this first kid. Mike got out and went talking to one of the other folks that was on scene just before us to see if he could find out what's going on with who. And... as I recall, I went and talked to this young guy, and he was not in the mood for any talking. He was just literally down on all fours in the grass.
Yeah, let's paint that picture.
Puking.
Let's just
good.
Let's do a scene size up or assessment, if you will. I've never done these before in my life. So we show up in a blue box, aka an ambulance, and we say, "Hey, we're here to help." There are, I believe it was three bystanders assumed to be part of the party standing around, and a fourth individual on his hands and knees into the grass, like
he was retching,
putting
hard
in work. If his lower intestine his large intestine could have come out of his esophagus, it would have, because he was trying hard to get everything out of his humanly body.
Yeah. So, long story short, I think I grabbed him.
Yeah, you did.
Got him up. We got him in the back of the ambulance, put him in the airway seat, just having a seat so I could start an assessment. Put him.
Hey, man, sit here. Don't throw up on my shoes.
Yeah, at that point, it was going to be a known that vomit was going to be involved.
He's not done yarfing, by the way.
Oh, no.
He's still yarfing.
No, this guy, not so bad at this moment, but we had a bit of a respite. So we got in the back of the ambulance, put him in the airway seat, put him on the monitor, listened to some lungs. Lungs were clear. Nothing exciting there. He's breathing on his own. Like, his pulse ox was hitting the high 90s, 98% or so. Tachycardic, showing a solid sinus tach, hitting like 120, 130. Sitting there. And the concerning factor was his initial blood pressure came back as what most of us would call shit over damn, but it was like 90 over 60 something in there, right?
You ready?
Okay. God, so we got that going for us, guys. I'm going to ban you from the box.
Yeah, I'm done.
So 90 over 60, give or take, right? I don't have the exact numbers here, but it was definitely hypotensive. And it was like, holy cow. All right. So initially, okay, definitely got some dehydration going on. This guy has been puking a lot. And again, apparently this has been going on for almost an hour now. So at about that time, I think I'm getting ready to start an IV on my guy, start getting some more information from him, the normal history gathering and everything else after we've figured out, like, okay, we got to start intervening. We got to do some stuff. He's definitely going to the hospital. He was not even going to fight us about going to a hospital. He just wanted help.
Yeah.
And about that time, Mike cracks open the side door of the ambulance and goes, all right, hey, man, is your dude cool staying in that seat? I'm like, yeah, you should probably be out here. He's like, cool, because there's another dude over here in the shitter who looks like he's about to die. And we're like, oh. All right. So we found a second patient who was made his way over into the bathrooms and was in one of the stalls.
Wait, let me paint this picture.
Yeah, so he was having a great time himself.
So as Sean was making contact with the first individual, and myself and the other EMT that's with us, we're trying to determine what in the ever-loving heck is going on. Somebody at some point during conversation with the EMT said, hey, I think there's somebody over in the bathroom. These are public Yeah, the campground bathroom.
Yeah, right? Say campground. Yeah, go to your local campground and go inside the public bathroom.
You know, this concrete, is where we're at. It always echoes. It always smells like the norm. We roll in, and I do distinctly remember saying to the EMT that was with us, yep, that dude's sick. Because he was laid out on the floor, resting his head on the rim of a campground public restroom with a look of... he had the normal signs of I'm sick with the pale complexion, diaphoresis, the look of this sucks on his face. And I inquired of this young man, would you like some assistance? Would you like my help? And he said, and I said, can you walk? And he shook his head no, and then again vomited mostly into the toilet bowl in this public campground restroom where he was laying. So at this point, the EMT and I head on back to the truck, and that's when I whip the door open. I say, hey, buddy, is your patient good to stay here? Because I'm going to need the cot.
I need the cot. Yeah.
So we went and got old boy and essentially dragged him by his arms out of the bathroom and foisted him onto the Stryker cot. And used that to wheel him back to the ambulance. Well, Sean was doing work on, we're going to call him subject number one.
Yeah, patient one. Yeah. Yeah. And to give a little backstory, when we'd first gotten there, just before I'd made contact with our guy, or about the same time, we had started talking with one of the other guys that was there, who was part of the original reporting and responding crew, and was talking with them. And a member of this, it was a group of, I believe, five young, probably college age guys who were there literally just for a weekend of camping, have a good time. And
totally sober, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
They actually were. It was pretty surprising.
Yep. I'm actually saying, yeah, they were totally sober.
Because yeah, most of the college groups we get up here don't stay that way when they start cooking dinner. So this guy brings up his phone and says, "Hey, we had these wild onions that we picked while hiking, and this is what we put in our food tonight. And these guys look like, I think, had a lot of it, and this is what we had." And he shows this picture. And Mike, I, and a couple of the other folks there were like, "That doesn't look like a wild onion, my friend, but okay." And this is my favorite thing. He's like,
"Cool story, bro."
He's like, "I Googled it." And it's like, "Good job. Your Google foo sucks." So we're going in with, okay, this is probably an ingestion problem. They probably took in a bad plant of some sort. We didn't know what was going on yet, but that was kind of the working diagnosis we had, was this is not good. So now we've got two patients.
So just to summarize here, Sean's medical foo, couple of dudes on the ground, retching their guts out. The other three are looking okay at the moment. Not sure. They all admit to eating something they weren't sure of what it was, and multiple people got sick. So Sean was like, "Huh, there's sick people here." Like, his medical assessment was on par.
It is what it is, right? Sick, not sick. These were sick.
Sick.
And three potentials. All right, so back in on this, right? So Mike and the other EMT, she helps him. They load up the cot. They bring this guy in. And Mike's like, "Hey, dude, my guy's looking really rough." And Mike's guy definitely, patient number two, we'll call him, was definitely looking worse off.
I want to call him toilet guy.
Was definitely looking worse off than my guy. And that was saying something, because my guy, again, pale, just sweaty, just not looking well. If you'd walked up on him on any scene and you didn't think this guy was having a bad day, you should probably just surrender your card at that moment, because this was a clear, not just because he was vomiting, but this guy just looked horrible.
Yeah, he was sick.
So I'd had a couple of good sets of vitals off the monitor at that point. And so Mike's like, "Hey, man, can I get the monitors?" "Yeah, dude, you put your guy on the monitor, because he looks way worse." So I switched over to just doing basic normal manual stuff, slung a normal manual cuff on him, put the little normal portable pulse ox on his finger, sticking with that, because I already had two or three good sets of vitals off the Zoll. And so I was like, "Cool, I got a good baseline. I can start working with that. We can keep trends now." And so Mike starts getting ready. He's going to get an IV going in his guy. And I'll have to post a picture of the back of this ambulance so you guys can get a little bit more of an appreciation of what we're working with. This is
not exactly the most spacious unit you've ever seen.
Yeah, so this is a small ambulance. It's got two extremely sick patients and two paramedics, and there's not much room for anything else. So we've got...
Now why, Sean? Oh, sorry, I was too far away from the microphone. Why wouldn't we just call another unit, Sean? Yeah.
Again, I think we actually did, and they scratched, if I recall.
I honestly don't remember.
Because once we realized we had two...
Or no, I think what it was...
But it was going to... They had to pull somebody, and we're talking from a neighboring jurisdiction, which was going to be like an hour before they got to us.
Yeah, it was
going to
be like an hour before they got
and
there.
And so we were like, screw it. These dudes need to get to the doctor, right? Mm-hmm. Because there was nothing significant we were going to do except try to keep them stabilized until we got to the hospital. So Mike's guy's now on the monitor, and he gets the same very low hypotensive readings. Both of our guys are starting to Brady down a bit, and it's, oh, this isn't a good thing. So we're rolling down the road at this point. So we've got a couple of bags hanging. We're giving them a fluid bolus.
Who's getting the atropine?
Yeah, neither of them. We didn't have atropine at the time. Mm. So not the most stocked of ALS equipment on this thing. So basically what we had available to us besides normal saline fluid bolus was epi. Yeah, and diesel to go to the hospital. And normally Mike and I prefer to take sick patients like this to a hospital that's a bit farther away, just because it's a more capable hospital.
That was the sound of my chair breaking.
The local hospital it's a good hospital. It's a local community critical access hospital, right? It's got a very small ED. I think it's staffed with generally one physician, mm-hmm. like two, maybe three nurses, and one, maybe two ER techs, right? Normally EMTs. And that's it. That they're like in 8-room, tiny little ED. They're not used to seeing seriously sick people. those guys get shipped out really quick when they do come in. So we've got about a half hour transport ahead of us. And again, we made this choice to transport both patients at the same time in our single unit, just because the next closest unit was going to be like an hour before they even got up to us. Then the same half hour drive time. So it was just, these were two sick guys. We felt like we were going to be able to manage them well enough on the trip. So we started. Fluid boluses worked really well initially for both of them. Got their pressures back up in the hundreds. We're like, okay, that's good. Kept them on a drip at that point.
Don't celebrate though.
Yeah.
It gets better.
Hang on, but wait. All this radio chatter in the background. We are on duty, guys. So yeah, that's all that radio chatter in the background if you hear it. And so we were thinking, okay, not bad. We're doing all right. And then that decided, or both of those patients decided that was no good. And somewhere in that mix, Mike's guy just looks over at him, mouthed the, I'm going to puke. And this guy was in such a weakened, debilitated state. He just opened his mouth and it just
fell out.
Yeah. It, not projectile vomiting, nothing. It just fell out of his face, all down his chest, onto his shirt. It was amazing. So now you've got, and of course my guy retches because that guy retches. Fortunately, mine made it into an emesis bag. But now you've got two paramedics, two really sick patients who've decided to start vomiting at the same time in the back of this tiny ambulance. And the smell was delicious. And I don't think either of us escaped vomit on our outfits at the time.
The content of both of their large intestines had made it all the way back up because it smelled like shit.
Yeah, this was... Yeah, I mean, we're talking two guys who've been puking for well over a half an hour now.
Sorry, it smelled like...
No, really, guys, that's the last time he plays with me. Yeah, so we've got vomit flowing everywhere.
I'm such a child.
And we're like, holy crap, man. Okay, how far out are we from the hospital? And we've got that one EMT, responding EMT with us. She was up front driving, right? So we had no more real help that was going to be able to hang out in the back for you guys. Oh, did you take extra hands in the back? There was nobody else left, right? We were out of EMS providers. There were three of us available at the time. One was in the ambulance driving, and two dudes were in the back taking care of the patients. So there was no opportunity for additional help. And honestly, we could have fit one more, but I don't know what that one more would have done.
They would have stood in the stairwell because there's no room in the back of that truck.
He could have slid on the very back bench, on the one bench seat we have, but hanging out at the patient's ankles. In the grand scheme of things, should one of those guys have coded, that would have been our human Lucas, as we like to call them. Somebody to do chest compressions for us.
What do they call them before they develop the Lucas? Steve?
They called them firemen. Remember, kids, don't lift with your back. Lift with your engine company. Love my firefighters. Seriously. And so having a third provider in the back just wasn't going to happen because there was nobody available. And B, there was just nowhere for them to be that was going to be in a good spot to do work. Mm. And again, I'll put up a picture of the back of this ambulance and you'd be like, wow, okay, that's tiny. And it is. It's small. It gets the job done, right?
But somebody's going to call us or send us a note and be like, that's nothing. I'll show you a small ambulance.
Yeah. Okay. There's smaller vanbulances and some, all you like old school guys that did this in station wagons. Yeah. Got it.
Those are called hearses.
But for those of us in the modern age, and this was in the 2020s, especially Mike and I both in our other urban services have full-size, normal, what we call an adult-sized ambulance.
And neither one of us is a short.
No, like...
Dude.
Yeah, Mike's over six. I'm six.
I'm over 6'2".
Yeah, so Mike, all the ambulances have that centerline bar up on the ceiling to hold onto. Mike routinely bashes his head on one, always in the back of this unit, because even I do. And
I have TBI from standing up.
Yeah, I'm 6 foot in this ambulance, and I hit my head on the ceiling too if I stand up quick. So it is small, right? Anyway, long story. Back to our two patients. So just before we departed, though, we told the other guys, hey, listen, you're going to follow behind us. Don't try to keep up with the ambulance, but this is the hospital we're going to. You need to follow along, and you need to come down too. Because while you might not be sick right now, all of you admit to having eaten some of this plant, whatever it is, and you should definitely be at the hospital in case something goes bad, or at least they can keep an eye on you. And so all three of those guys were like, oh, yeah, okay, let's do that. So we're probably only about, at this point, maybe 10, 15 minutes from the hospital. Both patients' blood pressure start crumping back down into that 90s or lower. I think Mike's guy dropped into the mid-80s at one point.
He was not doing really good.
Yeah, we didn't actually pull the trigger, and both of us kind of regret having not done it at that point, but we were getting real close. We gave him another probably 250 or 500 ml bump at that time, which kind of brought him back up again. And I had started pulling the epi out and was getting ready to start mixing up just a simple epi drip. And we didn't do it, and I really don't know why we decided not to at the time. I think a lot of it largely was we weren't exactly 100% sure what was going on with these guys.
Yeah.
They were fluid responsive, and so we were using the least invasive method to keep their BPs up at a reasonable level.
Yep.
Their pulses were remaining steady back around the 60, 70 mark, 80 mark, right? We'll call it in a normal healthy-ish range. Keeping their blood pressures, we were able to keep them, bumping them back up, keeping them up over 100. But they definitely, both of these guys, kept wanting to tank. And it was like one of those, holy crap, what is going on with it? Everybody denied doing any sort of drugs, like, at all. And I think these guys, it turns out they were being honest. But we felt like they were probably being honest with us at that point. Like, they didn't even have beers in their campsite, I don't think. It was, again, an anomaly for college guys out camping. But it is what it is. We pull in the back of the ED, and it's at about that time that both our guys start dropping below that 100 mark again. We'd already called ahead, let them know, hey, we are coming in with these two really sick guys. They might have ingested something bad. We don't know. We can't confirm. This is what we've got. We gave them the normal pre-hospital arrival stuff, standard vitals, what we'd found, what we noticed. And they're like, okay, gay, bring them on in. And to their credit, for being this very small rural hospital, they responded like champions when we rolled in the door. I think Mike and our EMT driver jumped out and took...
We leapt out in a desire to get this patient off our hands as quickly as humanly possible.
They didn't even hit park on that thing yet. They just leapt out.
After we took a tour through the parking lot, but it drove over a curb.
We did take a slight tour of the emergency area of the hospital before our driver. She never, in her defense, had not having to drive to the ED with the ambulance before. She was actually a brand new EMT.
Yes, she was.
So don't get us wrong. She's one of our good friends, and she's awesome, and she did a great job that day. But that was pretty funny. Wait, what did we just run over? And it was a curb because she realized where she needed to go and got us there. So her and Mike took their guy out in the stretcher and wheeled him in. And while they were doing that, when they got him over onto the hospital's bed, she came back out with a wheelchair for my guy. And so we got him out, put him in a wheelchair. We wheel him in, and the doc, being good and savvy, put them in two rooms, both of them facing each other, right? Mm-hmm. So he could just pop right between the two, because he's the only physician available. And so this was going to be his show and his show alone, right? He didn't have another doctor there to turn one over to. So he made it so he had the two like patients that he could go just a couple of steps between the two rooms and get stuff done, which I thought was really smart on his part.
Yeah. I don't even remember who he was. I don't think I've ever seen him again, but
yeah, I don't know if I've ever run into him again. Yeah, but he was really cool. Mike gave his turnover at that time because he was already in there. And by that point, Mike was done with his turnover. Doc comes over to my room. He's like, okay, just got it from him. Is this guy the same thing? I'm like, yes, here's his last set of vitals that we had. This is where we've been at. He's like, okay, awesome. And then he basically ordered epi drips on both of them. And that's when I was like, yeah, I should have done it. Because we were all ready for it. It's just, and again, I can't specifically remember the reason why we didn't really pull the trigger on that. But
because you're a failure, Sean.
Yeah, I guess I was just scared.
I was just following your lead as the PIC.
You had your own patient to PIC. We were PPICs. No.
PIC squared?
Pair of PICs. We were a pair of medics. There's your dad joke there for the episode. All right, sorry.
It's also what you call two paramedics in an ambulance. It's a pair of medics.
I think we just covered that.
Yeah.
Good job, though.
I'm here for you, buddy.
And the joke is, what's one medic? It's an unamedic.
It's an unamedic.
And then if you have two of them, it's a paramedic.
So listen, dad jokes from paramedic school don't have any place on our podcast, pal.
Yeah, here we are.
Yeah.
Not to deviate too much, but when both and I were both in medic school together, we had one of our instructors that would tell that joke literally almost every time he saw the class, like without fail. And anyway, so we get him turned over to the doc. He keeps him on the normal saline drip that we already had him hanging with. He did start him with an epi drip, trying to keep their pressure up. And I get totally why, because he was a single doc having to do stuff. So he was hoping to two birds, one stone, and less, I won't say less work for him, but something that was going to prevent him and a nurse from having to sit inside these rooms and continuously monitor.
He was playing paramedic. He was trying to keep them from dying while he figured out what the hell was going on.
And so everything, transport went well. Like, obviously, these guys didn't die, at least not while we had them.
Not that I know of.
And we also know they all discharged and left the next day, so they were alive when they left the hospital. So
touché.
Hooray
touché.
Us.
Yeah. Good job not sucking.
Yeah. And the story is, these guys, and I think, we did. We'll discuss some of what we found out they did ingest, and then you guys can know. We'll maybe post a, I don't know, Wikipedia or something link.
I've got some notes here.
Yeah, of this substance, yes, that they decided to ingest and why it's bad for you.
I might as well tell you about it now.
Yeah. Long story short, before Mike gives you that, both one of the people that was at the campground that kind of took this initial report actually had a friend that was a physician that was now working for poison control. Literally called a friend with poison control and said, hey, here's a picture of this thing. These guys all said they ate that. Can you figure out what this is? They figured it out, and the hospital ED called poison control, and they got the same answer. So we felt fairly confident that this is, in fact, what it was. And to close it out, just with the general story here, of the five, those two were the most severe. A third one did get sick and was put in a room for observation overnight as well. Mm-hmm. And then the other two of the friends just, you know, because they had nothing better to do, hung out in the waiting room for the rest of the night, but they did not end up showing any symptoms and were fine. And everybody was cleared the next day to go home and go about their way. And with that, Mike?
To what they did promptly.
What is it? What is the name of the substance that...
So they ate this thing called false hellebore. Veratrum? I don't know. I'm not a plant dude. I'm not very good at drug names either.
We'll post a link to the stuff. You guys can read about it too.
It's often mistaken for edible wild leeks or ramps. However, it is not a leek.
No.
And some internet sleuthing exposed that Native American tribes used to use it as a means to determine who would become the next chief by making a concoction and drinking this thing, and whoever remained conscious longest became the next chief.
Yeah, last man standing. Some survivor level shit with this.
It's got some pretty not great side effects. One, my understanding is it doesn't taste that great, but it will cause respiratory depression. It can cause slowed respiratory rate, which comes with all the things that happens when you slow your respiratory rate. It is a severe vasodilator and will drop your blood pressure. This is gonna be a shocker to you, but for the internet says it also causes weakness, dizziness, numbness and tingling, sweating and drooling, which every medication ever has those side effects if you've ever paid attention to American television. But nonetheless, and apparently the symptoms can last up to 7 hours after ingestion. So keeping them and monitoring them was probably a great call on the part of the hospital.
Yeah.
But false hellebore will fack you up, so to speak.
Yeah.
Especially when you go and dig it up with your friends and then make a meal out of it and eat it on purpose.
Yeah, you think you've got some wild onions you're tossing into your soup or stew, whatever it was. I think it was soup they were...
Yeah, like they were making ramen or something. Like, I feel like they were like, hey, I've seen MacGyver.
Yeah.
Or a variation thereof. I'm going to go in the woods and get some stuff. And one guy was like, I've got Google. Let's get some ramps. They sound cool.
Yeah. And it turned out not so much. Yeah. So this stuff will cause vasodilation, which causes the bradycardia, the low BPs. Like it, these guys, both of them were displaying textbook symptoms in line with this plant.
Mm-hmm.
Like textbook, like the vomiting, the weakness, dizziness. Like these guys were like, we were, when we read about it, when we got back to the station, the guys were like, hey, this is what they had. And we were reading through it and we're like, oh yeah, that sounds correct. And then we actually got a call back from the hospital at the ED and the physicians, hey, this is what we believe they ingested based on the other guy's description, that picture, and talking to poison control. Yeah, we discovered the same thing. So that was good that you had two separate entities working together that came up with the same response. So it's like,
And apparently every site I found on the internet refers to Vermont. So if you live in Vermont, don't eat ramps, because it could be false hellebore.
Because if it's not, yeah, this is literally a plant that if you eat too much of it, like, could kill you, like, poorly. Like, you are not going to go out
in a good way. No, it will kill you very effectively.
Oh, yeah, very effectively. And then after we had this case, this reminded me of, God, whatever, the McCandless kid in Alaska who had the one group of seeds that looked just like the other seeds, except for that one minor difference, and he ate the bad ones and ended up dying in a school bus alone in Alaska.
Yeah, that's not the best.
This is, like, one of those very same situations where if
What's that book called?
Into the Wild.
Into the Wild. Yeah. There we go. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good, really good book. Yeah. Movie was okay.
Except for the dying part.
Yeah, except for poor kid died. But this is definitely one of those, if you were alone on some, you were hiking the AT or some other backcountry trip, and you thought you were going to toss these wild onions into your ramen that night for dinner to spice it up a little bit, and you were alone and couldn't get the help, and you ate a lot of these things, man, you would be in a rough way. And there's a strong chance that, you know, you might literally die in a tent as you vomit and shit yourself all night long. So,
and dying sucks. Don't do it.
This is not just a discussion of this interesting case we had, which in and of itself was not super challenging as far as being able to manage them. I do have regrets that we didn't go with an epi drip on them sooner prior to getting to the hospital.
We did a perfect job.
But like I said, they were fluid responsive. So, and they both only had about a liter. I think we just changed bags right when we rolled into the ED. Mm-hmm. So they'd only had 1,000 mL each. So they'd both gotten a couple of bumps, which was keeping their pressures up fine. And again, I think there was a bit of hesitation, at least on my part, with, man, I don't know if epi with what's going on with them is going to fix anything, or is this going to make it worse? Because we had no idea what was going on. And then later education and talking to some docs about some other stuff, it had been like, you'd have been fine. If we got really shitty, just turn off that epi drip. And in a couple of minutes, things would have been mellowed back out. So it's noted. Okay. So lesson learned for, I think, both of us.
That was a while ago, too.
It was, right?
We were relatively new medics at the time.
Yes, we were.
Full disclosure, we had both been A's for quite some time before that.
Yeah. But I want to say, this was very early.
It was pretty early in our paramedic lifing.
Might even been our first year as medics.
Oof. Maybe. It's been a good long while.
I say it's been a hot minute, but.
Yeah. I had way less gray when this happened.
Didn't we all? Anyway, we just thought this was an interesting case.
Mostly Sean did. I just wanted to get on a microphone.
Yeah. It was interesting. Okay. It was interesting and fun in that I think he and I really enjoyed this, not because these patients were super hard to manage, because they were maintaining their own airways. That wasn't an issue. Their O2 sats were remaining fine. Neither of them needed to go on the oxygen. So fortunately, the respiratory depression that could come with this thing had not hit these guys.
Right.
They were really, it was cardiogenic, man, all the way with them. So it was like bradied, and then their blood pressure was crap. And that was, that was concerning, obviously. But again, with basic fluid boluses, we were able to maintain those. So that wasn't too difficult or too concerning. We were rocking
the fluid boli.
So if you've given this kid a big push of 500 and then 1,000 and nothing changed, then it'd been like, ooh, I guarantee we would have pushed on an epi drip quick after that.
Yeah, we would have jumped on it at that point.
But again, those were managed. I think most of us, we just thought it was fun.
And how many urban EMS agencies end up running calls where people ate some random stuff? And actually quite often.
Let me tell you about every 13-year-old trying their first gummy.
Yeah. That's not random, though. We know what we're eating. We're eating gummies.
Okay. Some people know.
Speaking of which, it's time to end this podcast so I can go find some.
Oh.
Wait, what?
Okay.
I was just talking about gummy worms, dude.
Yes. Gummy worms, because he can do better. There you go. I'm doing that for Mike and listener number one. And for the rest of you that get it.
Yeah. You're welcome. There's like three more of you in the world that get that, and you're welcome.
And most of you are probably involved in EMS and fire rescue somewhere along the lines.
Or you're a friend of mine and communicate with me on Signal.
Yeah. So end of the day, here's the story. Treat your patients. Don't be scared. If you fuck it up, you'll have a doctor say, oh, you guys did great. Okay. Yeah. This is also the same hospital that is always impressed when we bring in patients that already have IVs established and they've already received like pain meds or heart meds, whatever it might have been. They're always like,
true story.
Oh my God, you guys are the best. Thank you so much. This is amazing. And it's, do people not do this around here?
We are the best.
But we are not. If Mike Arancio didn't already claim world's okayest paramedic,
yeah.
I am. Okay. I'm the world's most mediocre paramedic.
Yeah. We're the world's most mediocre, okay at medicining guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my claim to great stats is I ain't killed no one yet.
Yet. Some of them were dead when I got there. But
yeah, I didn't kill them though. Two really sick patients. It was a lot of fun trying to work two full-figured adult men paramedics in the back with these two sick-ass patients that were trying to puke everywhere. I think it took us a while to rehab the unit because I think we literally took a hose to the back of that. We pulled it around to the wash racks and hosed the floor out just because it was covered in vomit.
Yes.
We used more little disinfecting wipes on that ambulance that day than we'd probably used in the whole year previous. But it's just one of those things as a wilderness guy, you never know what your parents, your patients are going to get into.
You never know what your parents are getting into either. They're usually doing that when you're not around.
Fishbowl full of keys, something weird.
Yeah, something weird. Pineapple on the door. White rocks in the yard.
Oh.
Yeah.
This show is devolving.
Yeah.
What started out as an honest discussion of a case we had that we found fun and interesting is now
just us talking about alternative lifestyles. Are you done with all your points yet?
No, because you keep interrupting and bringing up pineapples. Do it. He's hitting the button. Hit the button.
Nope. No, I'm not doing it because you're talking about it.
All right. So be wary. Be wary in your differentials. Like somebody's just vomiting and sick. Don't assume it's like something common like Giardia or something else. Like you might need to check and see if they ate something they picked and forged along the way.
How did you pick Giardia? This is common. Hey, common Giardia. It's the normal strain.
Because the show's called EMS in the Mountain. We talk about wilderness stuff, and people in the woods tend to sometimes drink unfiltered water.
I get it.
A very common backcountry illness for the GI system. I don't know. Maybe I heard of it. Can you believe this guy graduated paramedic school?
Paramedic, dude.
He even passed that damn IDSC test.
Yeah,
right?
I passed a board certification test.
I don't even know if Giardia is on that test. Can't even remember now. Probably was. So just kind of keep that in the back of your mind that there's some plants out there that can do some serious harm. That, oh yeah, we had some wild onions. Was it though? Hell, that's about it. Oh, and for listeners who aren't medical people, be very cautious with the food you think you know what you're pulling from the ground and going to eat. Everybody's pretty aware that certain mushrooms are bad for you, but there's some other stuff that's not a mushroom that will kill you.
Yeah, certain mushrooms are not bad for you.
There's that too.
Yeah. Okay. In true form, I think I'll just stop the recording now.
We've devolved.
Yeah. All right. If you have any questions or comments or ideas for show topics, you can send us an email at theshow@emsonthemountain.com or hit us up on social media. We can be found on Facebook and Instagram at EMS on the Mountain, Twitter at EMSOTM, or you can engage with us and a whole community of wilderness EMS professionals at locals.com/wilderness EMS.
Until the next episode, thanks for joining us, and until we see you on the mountain, train hard, be safe, and do good work.